You're listening to Diverse City Podcast. Please stay tuned to hear a powerful word. For giving or more church information, check us out at diversecity.church. Or to text to give, text DIVERSE to 73256. Thank you for listening and enjoy the word.
Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your spirit today. Lord, we just pray that you have your way. And Lord, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you that your word is about to transform, that your word is about to touch your people, that they'll never leave the same. Lord, I pray that you just get me out of the way. I give you full control and reign to do what you will, to do it on earth, to do it on heaven, as you will to be manifested on earth. So, Lord, through this message, I pray that you touch your people. Let them know that there's hope. Let them know that there's still a plan. And, Lord, let them know that there's an expected end. And all that agree, say amen. If you don't mind, you can stand up. We'll read the scripture real quick to get started. Just one verse I would like to read into your ear. First of all, thank you for coming. The substitute teacher is here today. Pastor Ray is in Maryland ministering. They started at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so he's probably still preaching, maybe hooping right about now as we get rolling. But thank you for coming and being here and being a part. Y'all give it up for y'all pastor. Who loves Pastor Ray? So we want to give honor to where honor is due today. For all the great things, his sacrifices to be able to make this happen. And also to the leaders and volunteers that when he's not here, we're still able to have an awesome, a wonderful, an encounter with God. Especially to the praise team for being flexible. Quincy, another hitting talent on the keyboards. Angie and the whole group. We didn't have everyone today, but you guys still tore it up. So thank you. All right, and then make sure if you're interested in knowing just the business of the church, want to understand the finances, our attendance, all of the highlights and headlights of what we're trying to do going forward, we'll ask you to just, after service, go grab a bite to eat, come back, meet us here at 3. We have printouts, transparency of all materials. We'll do our best to answer as many questions as possible, and if we can't, we'll make sure to get that answer to you. So feel free to be able to join us today. All right, Jeremiah 29 and 11, something that we've probably all heard today, but listening to Pastor Ray's sermon, it made me kind of shift gears and call it the audible. I had a sermon prepared on Monday, and then I listened on Facebook Live on Tuesday, and I said, I should go this way. And normally I'm pretty stubborn due to my own insecurities. I'll stick with what I'm comfortable with. But today I said, I'm a shift. I'm going to go with God because this is what's needed for the house today. So Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." You may be seated. Let me get my stool. Anybody know? Sorry. That's why we stay over here. Let's go. So today's message is called Live on Purpose. God has a purpose for you. God said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. If there was no purpose for you, you would not even be created. God sees a problem, he sees an opportunity, and then you're conceived to be able to have that. However, from the fall of man and our born nature of sin, sometimes it's a challenge to be able to find out what that is. The two biggest things we have to do in our life is, number one, figure out to give our life back to the Lord, and then number two, what is our why? So, I started when I was preparing this message. I just finished my busy travel season at work. So in the month of February, 3 weeks in a row, travel. Suitcase on Monday, going here, get back on Thursday, catch up with the wife, catch up with the kids, do church work. Monday comes again, flying out, going to the next place, get back on Thursday. That whole cycle, 3 weeks in a row. And then in the month of March, I'm only had one trip, but by far this was the most challenging one. Me and my two kids went to Florida on vacation. So no wife, it was all me, daddy daycare for the whole week. So it was tough because my son, he's 4, he's getting a little bit better, but my daughter's 3 and she's very feisty. So through that journey, while I have my family there, at nights I would go out and see different friends and be able to catch up with individuals from high school. But what was very interesting is that normally I have people I stay in contact with, but I had one person that actually reached out to me that I haven't talked to in the last maybe 3, maybe 4 years. And he was just like, "What's up, man? How you doing?" And of course, I've changed my number a few times, so I didn't know who it was. So I'm still not comfortable with what do you say to people when they do that. It's, "What's up? How you doing?" I knew it was the area code, so I texted somebody else to find out who it was. And basically he said, "Hey, I'm in town. Would love to catch up. I know we haven't seen each other in 3 or 4 years." So we go to dinner. And of course, if you haven't seen a friend in a while, it's a time of catching up. He's sharing all of the great and wonderful things going on about him. I'm sharing all of the wonderful and great things going on about me. And I'm sitting there listening to him, and then I'm thinking at the same time, it's like, he's did all of this, and how did he even get here? I've done all of this, and I'm over here. And if we go back to class of 2004, my graduating class. What? Come on now. Better than any before and after. But we're there, and I'm thinking two guys from a low-income area. Upon graduation, his whole life is planned out. He's going to the number one school in the state. He wants to be a doctor. And then you have me that's graduating, got to go to college, and just say, "I need to go, and hopefully, Spirit of God, show me which way to go from here." And so he's going to school, doing well, doing great in school. My first semester of college, I almost ended up dropping out. Then I had my transformation with God and actually gave my life to him. And then from there, hitting the ground, moving forward. Because for me, because I took the slow bus, it took me 5 years and a lot of summers. But I eventually ended up graduating, working a job, which I've actually been there 10 years, got married, got kids, all of these wonderful stuff. I'm in St. Louis, serving and being in purpose. And then you have his story. He's a doctor, he's a dentist, making $150 from the start, plus commission. And I thought about it, I'm like, how did we both get here? He's in purpose, and I'm in purpose. I'm doing ministry, and most of his family was lacking in the area of teeth, so he became a dentist to be able to help him. So he has his purpose, and I have my purpose. And sometimes, I know for some of us, we say, you're not in purpose if you're not in full-time ministry. But purpose, at the most succinct form, is your service. It's not about you, it's your service. If you're going to school just for money, that's not your purpose. That's your ambition. That's you trying to be successful. But your purpose sometimes scares you. Anybody else been scared because of their purpose? God gave you a dream, and you said it must be Lee's chicken. That can't be him. Whatever it is, your purpose is about service. So, going back to the verse, when I shifted here after having that conversation, a few things stand out in Jeremiah 29. This is God talking. "For I know the plans I have for you." Guess what? We don't know our plans. God saying, I know. Not you. I know you think you got it all figured out. I know you think you got it all together. But God is saying, I know the plans. Because if I told you the plans, you would maybe trip. God is talking to Jeremiah in a time where his condition and his state is looking rough. He's in bondage. His whole family is in captivity. He's probably thinking, aren't we God's chosen people? But how are we in chains? How are we a slave? And God is telling him in the midst of his issues, I know the plans I got for you. Sometimes with plans, God would only show you enough of what you can handle. Because if he give you all the details, we'll do our best to try to abort the mission. Joseph, as we talked about last week, he had the dream, the coat of many colors. But if he knew it was his family was going to have to throw him in a pit and go to prison, next thing that he would do, if I was him, was run away from my family. We would try to avoid it. We would try to go for it. Or we would try to be like Jonah, right? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want the plan. And you try to run away, even if it's to jumping off the boat. But guess what? God has sent an Uber fish to pick you up and take you to your destination. He will only give you enough of what you can handle. And he says, I will prosper you. That's more than just financial. God wants to bless you from the bedroom to the bank account, from your business, from your ministry, in every area, in every aspect of your life. It's not this or that with God, but God wants to do this and that. And his plan is not to harm you. I know for me personally, in my own walk with God, I struggle with the calling because of all my mistakes. Not just in the past, but the things I still mess up with now. And he says, I'm not here to harm you. My grace is sufficient. I see behind your weaknesses. I want to be able to help you to get there. And he wants to give you a future. If you're still alive today, God still has a plan for you. God still has a purpose for you. This is not just for the young. This is for the old. If you're here, you have to wrestle with what your plan and what your promise is from God. Move to the next slide, please. So it made me think about this. Okay, if you're saying we all have purpose, what is kind of the pillars? What are the fundamentals for us to be able to get there? And this is what God showed me. He said four things, and this applies to everyone. Number one, you were created to worship me. We are his creation to worship, to honor, to be able to adore him. We were created to fellowship with him. This is just not prayer and as we meet and commune with him, it's a dialogue. He wants to be able to have fellowship with you and for you to have fellowship with other people. And most of us hear that all the time, but really, I want to talk about number three. What is your work? What is your assignment? Assignment and works can change and it can adjust. And sometimes we try to say that's not spiritual, but go to Genesis 1. All of these things are there for us to be fruitful, for us to multiply, for us to be able to till the land and to do our work. This is not a gender specific for man. This is a woman thing too. All of us have some work to do. And that's based on your purpose. And if you don't do the first three, or if you don't do the work, you can't have dominion. Do you have dominion on your job? If not, is it your work? Is it just a place out of comfort? Is it just something you do because it's easy? Is it just something that you do just to get by? What is your work? So when we think about one of the things we'll talk about later today with the business meeting, our growth, our expectations for diverse city, the radical transformation for diverse city is not about what happens on the pulpit. But it's your transformation in the pew. God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. As he transforms you through your worship, through your word, through your fellowship, and as he gives you dominion, your assignment will evangelize others to see there's something different about him. There's something different about her. Y'all got it? So The question becomes then, it's more than just being that simple, but God has given us the power of choice. Choice. Which choice will you pick? On the left, you can choose a life of default, autopilot. Work, sleep, wake up, check the box, come to church on Sunday, do what you gotta do, maybe tithe, maybe not tithe, live average, however, do a few vacations. But there's no meaning to it. Studies show that most heart attacks happen between 7:30 and 9 a.m. on a Monday morning because they're doing something they don't really enjoy. They're doing something that may be frustrating. They're doing something that has them upset. But God wants us to live a life and live a life of more abundantly, which means that you're going to have to figure out what that dream is. You may have a season of working on your job and your dream until your dream replaces your job. God wants you to find your assignment. And the assignment may change. You may start doing this and eventually do there. You may work for a company. Then you may create a company. Then you may go from a nonprofit. You may get fired. You may get rehired. All of it to get you to what your assignment is. So you can live a life of meaningfulness, a life of impact. So when you wake up, your charge, your battery is ready to go to be all that God has called you to be. Basically, I'm saying shift from existing to living. Next, please. All right, so I saw this scripture and it just really spoke to me. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, listen, there's something up here that's very important. Now, y'all see me reading from the New King James. There's only one King James I talk about, and he got put out in the playoffs on Friday. So it was very important that you catch this. I got this scripture because of that. What is your that? I can't answer that for you. What is that your that? What is the thing that you've lost? What are the things that Jesus had to come? Jesus is coming to seek you. Jesus is coming to save. Jesus is coming to redeem the things that you have lost. What is your that? What is that thing that you have to get started again? What is that thing you need to reboot and get another chance? Another chance. Some of us, I'm on my 100,000th of chance to be able to fill my purpose. So what's interesting, one of the key figures, as Pastor Ray talked about Joseph last week, it made me think about Moses. As the book of Genesis closed, as we know, Joseph fulfills his purpose. He has an understanding of his place, his position, and his power. But then in Exodus chapter 1, it starts off and says, a new Pharaoh's in charge, and he doesn't know the people of Israel. So all of the things that Joseph worked for, now as we move into the beginning of Exodus, God is not on the scene anymore. The Pharaoh's in the charge. Then chapter 2 of Exodus, then you see Moses is born. So there's the problem in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he births the promise. And then number 3, Moses has his burning bush experience. Now, of course, that was miraculous. And you would think if God would show up on Compton as you're leaving, and a burning bush would show up, and he said, this is what you need to do. You would be in complete agreement and says, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. But check this out, what he says in chapter 4. So Moses, right, Moses argues with God. Has anybody ever argued with God besides me? Said, God, why? Why are you going to do this? Why are you going to do that? You know who I am. You know I stutter. You know I have issues. You know I'm out here growing up in the hood, the ghetto, the projects, or in the suburbs, and things are not right. And you have Moses having a confrontation with God. And this is where it all settles, right? It says, but Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Has anyone ever told them, said, this is what the Lord said to me, and they doubted you? Then the Lord asked him and says, what is in your hand? Just a staff. That's all I got. What is in your hand? God pushes me with that question all the time. What is in your hand? This question means no excuses. This question means your excuses are like armpits. They all stink. No matter how much deodorant you use, I don't want to hear it. What is in your hand? Everything that you need for your appointed assignment right now is in your hand. You don't need this person. You don't need that person. You don't need this connection. You don't need that connection. What is in your hand? Check this out. Then it moves on and says, So then the Lord, let's go back there. Then the Lord said, what is in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. He tells him to throw it down. And when he throws it down, the staff turns into a snake. Moses jumps. He's tripping and say, wow, I didn't know it was that much power you've given to me. I didn't know that you can use me to actually minister to people when I didn't grow up in church. God, I didn't know you could promote me and I didn't deserve the job. What is in your hand? You can go to 4 and 5. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab the tail. Then Moses grabbed it and it turned back into the shepherd's staff in his hand. Verse 5, it says, perform this sign, the Lord told him, and they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. So for the rest of this time, let's talk about what's in your hand. Let's talk about the 5 P's to get you in purpose. So that staff to Moses represented his identity. He was a shepherd. He was taking care of sheep. That staff was very critical and important for his occupation. It represented his income. If he didn't have a staff, it was going to be hard for him to herd the sheep. And his staff was about influence. Sometimes you got to crack them upside the head, get them in line if they don't want to listen. The staff was very valuable. So when it comes to your purpose, the first P, this may be shocking, is pain. Pain. What are the things in your life, not a level 2 pain, a level 10 pain? What are those things that hurt you every time you think about it, whether it was things that was done externally to you, from your parents, from your friends, even from the church? Pain, the type of hurt that has you all upset, the type of hurt that has you tripping and frustrated and don't know what's going on. Your pain. God told me to tell you, don't waste your pain. Don't allow it to be your luggage, but be a lesson to help other people. I preach out of my pain. I preach to if 1 or 2 or 3 people can learn something about a mistake I made, I can use it to help others. Pain. As women know, the birth and the sacrifices and all of the pain for childbearing, but now that's a part of your purpose, to be able to carry and be able to raise a child. Forgot my part. Pain. Even Joseph said to his family, you intended to harm me, but you were God's vehicle to get me to purpose. 2, don't be surprised, your past. Hashtag my bad. It's easy for us to talk about other people, but where did you drop the ball? Where did you mess up at? Don't hide from it. Don't answer it. Don't pick it up. All of that. Your past. The devil didn't make you fail. You just didn't study. Your past. If you got fired, it's your fault. Not the devil's if you showed up late. Take accountability. We have to be able to take ownership for our actions and some of our past. When I was meeting with my friend, I was blown away because, of course, when you see people you haven't seen in a while, you start bringing up all the things that happened. And God quickly reminded me over and over about his grace of God. He was like, oh, yeah, remember we did this? I'm like, yeah, remember we did that? And he said, oh, but remember you did this? And I said, whew, I couldn't even stand up anymore. I had to sit down. Then he kept talking. He was like, remember when we skipped school? And I was like, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord. And then you go wake up and you say, and I'm still here. God's grace is so amazing to be able to be here. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I am a product of his faith and his love and his grace and his mercy. But it's something about the past that you can't just hold on to it. We're the chain of past and my issues and everyone hurt me. Sooner or later, you have to move past your past. Listen, you can't open the door of your future if you're lingering in the hallways of your past. I'm going to say that again. I think they heard it over here. What about over here? You cannot open the door of your future lingering in the hallways of your past. So when you look at your life and assess what's going on, what have you learned from your mistakes? Have you really sat down and just kind of take inventory and said, I messed up here, I messed up there, I'm going to put some healthy boundaries in place, I'm going to establish some guardrails, I'm going to have some accountability partners to make sure this doesn't happen again. Number three, performance. Performance. What are the things you're good at? Naturally good to you. Right now, what are the things that you can do without any ease that your neighbor would have to work to do it? For those that have photographic memory like my wife, super jealous, super frustrated, I'm a hardworking student. She can look at stuff one time, go one distance one way, and recite the whole thing. What are the things that you're naturally, I don't know what happened there, the first bot set, naturally good at? This is more than just spiritual gifts, but God gives us natural skills, natural instincts from the moment we were born. I can tell you some of my son's skills, and I can tell you some of my daughter's skills. My son, he's all about people. He wants to do it together. If he's playing with toys and you're over there, he's going to come and help you out and say, come on over here. We can do this together. My daughter will push you away and say, get off my toy. Because she's focused and committed, but she's a bulldog. What are the things you're naturally good at? Maybe you struggle to figure out what those things are. Let's spin it a different way. When people compliment you, what do they compliment you for? How do you stand out? When you have your performance reviews at work, when you meet family members, when you get phone calls, what do people compliment you for? These are all indicators to be able to say, yes, this is it, this is not it. Sometimes you have a process of eliminations. Sometimes, I remember one time having four job offers and trying to figure out what to do. And I was like, oh, well, this pays the most money, but I wouldn't like it. Or this over here. And then, oh, I like this manager. And then eventually you figure out the things that you're good at. And then number three, what's your experience? Nursing, I think about Amanda on her way to finish. How much time we got left? July, woo, woo, a nurse. Where's Amber? She's not here. Your experience. Where have you put in work in? Where have you made your investment? What's funny with Pastor Ray not being here, we're doing the church business meeting. And out of all my years going to church, I've never been to one. And now I got to lead one. And I'm like, what am I going to do, Lord? And then he was like, it's a business meeting. You're a finance manager. You do this every year on a $40 million budget. Use your experience, bring it to the kingdom, and make it happen. Duh! And so, you'll be amazed when it comes to that experience. My first leadership experience came from the church. And then I used it in the corporate world. Then I learned stuff in corporate and bring it back to the church. God is able to use each and every aspect, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the oogly, to be able to get you in your assignment and your purpose. Number four, passion. What is your passion? What can you do for 24/7? 24/7, what can you do nonstop and you don't get tired? What's that subject? I mean, moving beyond sports, what are those things that you can do? What can you do and it takes your focus and it doesn't get you distracted? What are the things that are in your heart from your past, the things you've been to that you just have a passion for? Now, we all, as most of you have heard, our challenge is with kids. So anytime I hear something about a little baby or a Ronald McDonald House needs something, it triggers something on the inside of me. What can I do? How can I help? Can I be there? Can I sow in financially? How am I able to help? Finances, that's my thing. What is your thing? Music. Now, make sure, listen clearly. Don't confuse performance and passion. I'm a passionate singer, hallelujah. But I can't do what Angie do, or Quincy. Passion and performance are different. It's great when they both conflate and they work together and it's one specific thing, but sometimes it's different. Some of you are gifted in your job, but you're not passionate about it. So you do it well, but you go home and you're not like super excited to share it with a lot of people. Make sure you understand the difference. Make sure you understand what you're trying to do. Moses, his passion was all about his people. Moses was a committed man. He would pray. He would intercede on their behalf when they complained and they grumbled. But you have to make sure that God is in it too, because Moses killed somebody because of his passion. So you have to make sure the sincerity of what God is trying to do for you. And sometimes we struggle to be able to see that, right? Because it's hard, what is the quote? It says, it's hard to see the picture when you're the frame. Sometimes you're doing it, you're awesome, you're great at it, but you can't see it. And sometimes you have to hear from others. That's why you need good mentors, advisors, spiritual advisors, have others to be able to bounce things off, to be able to use them as a sounding board so you can figure out and concretize what your assignment is. And number five, you need his presence. You have to make sure not only that you find your passion, your pain, your gifting, your performance, but you need his presence. God's presence brings clarity. God's presence is necessary because sometimes he needs to sanctify some of those things in your life. Because if not, you'll be having issues. If not, you may get yourself in trouble. I even think about both Sauls, one Saul going to Paul, the first Saul, being a man of God, had a chance to be the king of Judah, doing well, but neglected his presence to the point so bad that he could not find it again, that he committed suicide. His presence. We have to be sanctified. If not, gifts like influence can be used as manipulation. You have to be careful to sanctify those things of God. Another one. What about Apostle Paul? I love the Hebrew people. I love the Jewish people. Studied from the age of three, the Greek and Hebrew Bible. And after Christ was born, he was killing people until he had his Damascus Road of experience. God had to knock him off his horse, give him his presence, and sanctify that gift. And 2/3 of the New Testament is written about by him. his presence. Y'all with me? Y'all good? So, with his presence, it's very important that you surrender all to him. When you start asking for these things, you have to be prepared with all that comes with it. But it's not for just the young, it's for the old. And if there is life in your body, God has a purpose for you. You can go to, oh, there we are. You already got it. So we can go to the next one, actually. So check this out. Question, multiple choice. You got four answers. I know it may be hard to read in the back, so I'll make sure to explain this. What is the richest place on earth? Number one, we got Wall Street, the stock exchange, where we all know there's over like $3 trillion in the system, over millions and millions of dollars exchanged every day. Number two, Dubai, one of the nicest cities and most beautiful cities in the world. Then number three, you got the cemetery where, you know, the dead goes. Or number four, the internet. By a show of hands, number one, stock market. Okay, Dubai. What is the richest place on earth? You got it, Jasmine? I'll wait for you, girl. All right, cool. All right, wait. Stock market. Dubai. Okay, a few Dubais, okay. The internet. Okay. What about the cemetery? We got smart people. No, all y'all are smart. Never mind. Yes, by majority rules, the cemetery. Some of you say, why the cemetery? Because there are people that exist and never live. There's books that hasn't been written. There's dreams and ideas, but out of fear and not having enough funding, we take it to the grave. But God wants us to rob the grave of his greatness and live the life you've been called to live right here and right now. God wants you to, I know they say the American dream and get rich and die trying, but God wants you to live full and die empty. That's the only way to live. Jesus did that. It only took him 33 years. A lot of people you look at that you admire and you respect, they lived full and died empty. There has to be an urgency on you finding your why. It has to be an urgency on you finding your purpose, your unique ability, your unique assignment, because all fulfillment is going to come when you're able to figure out that. You can meet with others and they can help you, give you some indicators, but it comes personally with you being able to wrestle with God and come to those things. So here's the call to action. Get to work. Get to work. So I got three things I would like to challenge everyone to do if you're not doing, to embrace and to be able to get started. Number one, get into shape. One of our greatest tools that we have here at the church is a shape assessment. That shape, each letter stands for different things. Your spiritual gifts, it talks about your spiritual gifts. So what are those nine gifts that's in the Bible? What are the things that you score on? Number two, it talks about the heart, your passions, your desires, the things you love to do, the people you love to work with. Number three, it says the ability, the things that you're able to be able to do without ease, without pain. Number four, it talks about personality. Because all of us are different. But what does your personality say? How do you communicate with people? How do you like to receive communication from people? And then number three, or number five, it looks at the experience, the good and the bad. And when you're able to take the shape, you just kind of back up and look at every compartment of your life, because you're more than just spiritual gifts. You're more than just your experience or your personality or your abilities. But when you're able to diagnose, to look at all of those things together, you can find your unique ability in this world. Because God has not created you to compare, Comparing yourself to others, comparison is the thief of all joy. God has not created you to conform. You don't have to compromise and lower your standards. But God wants you to be able to contribute. And you only find that when you know what your purpose. So if you're interested, you can go to diversity.church. On the top module is the shape assessment. It will take you probably about an hour. And when you finish, if you take the assessment, one of our leaders will meet with you and help you to find your purpose. We don't want to be here and just doing church and coming and shaking hands and hugging, but we want you to find your unique ability and your why for your assignment. Number two, serve. Some of us are scared to serve in a church because of our issues, because of our insecurities, and because of our past. But we believe that everybody here has something that they can do. We believe everybody here can contribute, whether it's just smiling with people. You can be with Mr. Dewan back there and ushering and greeting. If you don't like the smile and you got a mean mug, we'll put you on the safety team. If you're a thug, we can use them too. I was on this church website, and they had this life group called Thugs. I'm like, what? We got Thugs? Life group? And when you look at the analogy, it said, transform hearts under God. We need a thug ministry. Can I get my limp up in here? Thug life. Put on. Never mind. I was going to reenact your boy Michael. I don't know if y'all seen the guy Mike that... He's a thug, he got transformed, and he does pop locking, but he's winning people to the Lord. But what is that? To be able to serve. So if it exists today, get involved, find out how you can help. There won't be any pressure, there won't be any commitments here. Listen, this is the Holy Spirit job to convict you, it's God's job to judge you, it's our job to love you. Each and every person in here. It's Holy Spirit job to convict. No matter how hard I want to try, it's going to have to be him. It's God's job to judge, but our job to love. And we'll love you right where we are because we are the perfect church for imperfect people. So serve, be able to get involved and get your part. You'll be surprised that through serving, you'll discover other gifts, other talents, and other abilities that you thought you never had. The only reason I've ever felt comfortable speaking in front of people was because I started serving in church. Listen, I was a good D student in high school in English. I was good in math. Math was my thing. And I thought I could avoid English, and then I got a career, and I see that I got 100 emails a day. But it was through serving in youth ministry, serving in kids ministry, serving in the bookstore, serving in the choir. They put me in the way back, but I was in the choir. All of these areas and aspects of your life, being able to serve and say, Lord, I want to help and meet and lead. Sometimes kids ministry, you may not have the anointing and the fire of God, but guess what? We need help with the kids, all of them, 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 12, youth, young adults, seniors, all of that, there's an opportunity that we have right now where we can go into all of the elementary and middle schools in Dutchtown, and we're able to help them with reading and education and Boys and Girls Club. But Pastor Ray can't do it all. We have to do this together. And then number three, we got to seek. We got to seek the Lord. We got to seek him and to be able to find him. And when we search for him, we're able to discover, we're able to develop, and we're able to deploy our assignment for our life. So in closing, what's in your hand? Are you willing to live in purpose, sleep in purpose, wake up with purpose, and have all that God has called you to be? So first, two appeals. One, if you don't know Jesus, that's the first start. So if anyone here would like to accept Jesus in their life and says, all right, Lord, I'm ready to give you my past. I'm ready to give you my pain. I'm willing to give you my issues and have a brand new start, we ask for you at this time to meet us at the altar, and we'll have one of our prayer warriors meet with you and come into agreement. And then the second appeal won't be an altar call, but I'll just ask you to have the courage to stand up. If you're saying that you've been living in default and that you know that there's more for your life, and that God know that you look at your financial situation, your health situation, your career situation, and you're asking God to give you an experience and an encounter to be able to get clarity on that assignment for your life, I want to make sure that we pray in agreement. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, snap, it's 12 o'clock. All right. Amen. So I'm going to close out in prayer. And again, just as a reminder, we are going to have our business meeting today. Great opportunity to get plugged in and know what's going on. Also, I challenge you to take the SHAPE assessment. It will give you instructions to be able to find out what that is. And then for others that would just like to start and take advantage to volunteer ministry, there is a Pulse sign-up sheet in the lobby. Please fill it out, and we'll make sure that you get a phone call this week to be able to help you get engaged, to get plugged in, and to get in the purpose. All right, let us pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to come and encounter you today. Lord, I pray that you just encourage your people to be able to live in purpose. I know it's not hard. I know it's not easy. I even battle with taking specific jobs, from getting married, from moving to St. Louis, but it was all a part of your purpose. I learned on the other side that there's freedom. I learned on the other side that there's grace to be able to help us move forward. And so, Lord, we lift up every individual in this congregation today. Let them know that they're loved. Let them know that there's still a plan for their life, from the 8-year-old to the 80-year-old, or Miss Rue, the 93-year-old. Whatever that is, Lord, I thank you that you're going to bring them clarity, that you're going to crystallize their assignment so they're able to maximize their opportunity. And Lord, that you just bless them as they're able to step out, God, for the things that you've showed them. I thank you that you're going to do exceedingly. I thank you that you're going to do abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or think. But Lord, we choose to make the first step towards you. So, Lord, we pray that you just meet them in their encounter as they seek and serve and worship you today. We want to live a life of purpose. We want to live a life of assignment. And, Lord, most of all, when you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, you have lived full and you have died empty. And all that agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.